Around the world, more than 80 women have accused Peter Nygaard of crimes ranging from rape to sex trafficking.
He far exceeds Jeffrey Epstein. He far exceeds Bill Cosby. He exceeds anything that I think our world has seen so far.
A pattern of predatory behavior spanning half a century. Nygaard denies it all, but now he faces criminal charges.
If this were a poor man, he would have been in jail decades ago. He is hid in plain sight.
Evil by Design, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. One thing that is certain about all animals is that they need a place to live, and that includes the Western chorus frog. The city of Longueuil on Montreal's South Shore is building a new road that will make life easier for drivers, but not so easy for the local chorus frog. The new road cuts right through the frog's home, the wetland. The frog is considered threatened under the Species at Risk Act. And so the province has come up with a plan to preserve the chorus frogs. Biologists hope to breed them at the Biodome in Montreal so they can be resettled in a nearby provincial park. Some conservationists, though, say it's not enough to protect the frogs. Alain Branchot is the director of the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society's Quebec Division.
The priority should be to protect the natural site and stop this idea that you can compensate destruction and then move around individuals. The priority is really protect the actual wetlands where the Western chorus frog is found.
Sarah Cox is a journalist at the Narwhal, digital publication that's doing investigative journalism on the natural world. Her recent book, Signs of Life, Field Notes from the Front Lines of Extinction, follows conservation battles across this country, including the story of the Western chorus frog. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
We heard it. What does the Western chorus frog sound like?
It sounds kind of like if you were running your finger along a comb, and that's what gives the frog its name, because in the springtime, males congregate at breeding sites and make that noise.
Why are they considered to be under threat?
The chorus frog is listed as threatened under Canada's Species at Risk Act, which means if known threats to it are not addressed, it will become endangered. And this is because of habitat loss. So the frogs are found in southern Ontario and Quebec in kind of lightly forested areas and prairie flatlands that have shallow ponds that dry up after maybe 3 or 4 months after the tadpoles hatch. They avoid laying their eggs in ponds where fish might be able to eat them and the tadpoles. And this is just the kind of habitat that we also favor for housing developments and roads, ponds that are easy to fill in and don't look like anything special. In recent decades, Western chorus frogs have lost up to 90% of their habitat to urban development. Mm. And that leads us to today's predicament and also to some claim to fame for the Western chorus frog, because it's one of only two species that has been the subject of a federal emergency order under Canada's Species at Risk Act.
I want to come back to that in a moment. When they tried to build this road through the wetland in Quebec, what happened?
Well, this has been going on now for about a decade with the Western chorus frog in Longueuil, but also in La Prairie near Longueuil. And what happened in La Prairie was that a housing development went up and environmental groups took the municipality to court and eventually in 2016 got an emergency order under the Species at Risk Act. And emergency orders give the federal government the power to step in when a species faces imminent threats to its survival and recovery and make decisions that normally fall to the provinces or municipalities, such as whether to allow housing developments in critical habitat for the Western chorus frog or clear-cut logging in old-growth forests that the spotted owl in British Columbia relies on. And so a second emergency order was issued in 2021 for this road in Longueuil, and it was paused. And then the damage, though, had already been done. The forest had been cut. The drainage ditches and sewage system had already been put in, and everything kind of sat in limbo for a few years until this year when the municipality decided that the damage was already done and they were going to go ahead with it with these mitigations, which include collecting the western chorus frog and taking it to the biodome and using hormones to try to induce the frog to produce more tadpoles. And then the plan is, as was stated, to take them back to the wetland and also to an adjoining area in the hope that this will protect the western chorus frog.
What do you make of that idea?
Well, for me, it's a little bit deja vu with what's happened in British Columbia with the spotted owl and across Canada with other species at risk, where we engage in these very expensive, in some cases, and extremely elaborate interventions at the 11th hour when the species is already at great risk, instead of addressing threats to the species much earlier when it's easier to do so.
One of those other elaborate interventions is, I mean, that city's doing it, and this is happening in Thorold, Ontario as well, where they build like kind of like a tunnel under the road so that wildlife can move around underneath. You can still have the development, but there's also a space for the wildlife to move around underneath.
Right. And so a tunnel was built in Longueuil, is my understanding, in 2021, or it had been built by then when the development was halted. And herpetologists said that this wasn't necessarily going to help the western chorus frog. In fact, that it might make it easier for predators to nab the frog, that they would just get used to the frog coming out of the tunnel and know where to find them. Mm. And so while wildlife mitigations do work in many instances, in this case, there's still a bit of a question mark there about whether or not it will actually work. And again, we've seen this time and time again right across the country with species at risk of extinction.
I was just going to say, you could imagine, and I'm not saying that they're right, obviously, but you could imagine there are people who are saying, look, we need to build the road. We need to build houses. This is a tiny little frog. You're actually going to stop this construction because of the frog. Come on, what would you say? What would you say to those people?
Well, this is a dilemma that we face all over the country. And I think that we need to look at this in a much broader context. And the broader context is that Canada right now has 5,000 species at some risk of extinction. 900 of those species are critically imperiled. We've already lost 135 species from the country. If you count the spotted owl, that's 136. And we need to strike a balance between protecting species and biodiversity and proceeding with these types of developments.
Can you do that? I mean, in Ontario, it's not just Quebec. In Ontario, there's this Highway 413 expansion. It's out of Toronto, where it could go through a wetland where, again, these frogs find their habitat. Can you actually do both things? Can you protect that environment while also providing the infrastructure that government believes is necessary?
In some cases, we can through appropriate mitigations, but in other cases, we can't. And that's where hard decisions need to be made. And the bigger context, again, is that Canada has legal obligations to protect at-risk species. And now we also have international obligations to protect at-risk species. A year and a half ago, Canada signed a global biodiversity framework. We committed to halting the human-induced extinction of known threatened species and to restore native wild species populations to healthy levels. We are obliged to do that. And time and time again, when we make decisions, we don't make decisions thinking about at-risk species and biodiversity. Again, we're coming in at the very 11th hour when we've already lost 90% of the habitat.
Why do you think that is? I mean, as you've said a couple of times, the federal government only stepped in on behalf of two endangered species to issue emergency protection orders. Why isn't the government, if that's our obligation, but also the smart, the right thing to do, why isn't the government doing that more often?
Well, it's complicated in terms of jurisdiction because we have this Species at Risk Act. We've had it for 20 years now. It automatically applies to species only on federal land, which is outside of the territories about 4% of the country. And that includes national parks and military bases and post offices. And so the provinces agreed to step up and to institute measures and legislation to protect wild species on provincial land. And largely, even though that commitment was made decades ago, that has not happened. And time again, resource development, urban development, industrial agriculture is prioritized over helping at-risk species and biodiversity. And this is setting us down a path, if we want to look at it purely in terms of our own self-interest, that will not put us in a good position because we cause biodiversity loss at our own peril. We depend on biodiversity for our own survival. And one indicator of biodiversity loss is the number of species and ecosystems at risk. And Canada is not heading on a good path right now in terms of adding species and ecosystems at risk all the time because of the decisions we've made. So scientists say that we need far more of a balance, that we need to start getting involved to protect at-risk species before we've lost most of the habitat, as in the case of the Western chorus frog, and before we're carrying out these very interventionist measures like giving Western chorus frogs hormones in captivity and trying to release them on an experimental level to see if they survive.
I'll have to let you go. But I mean, I just wonder whether, you can put the brakes on that kind of development. In Quebec, it doesn't seem as though that's possible. They say it's not possible. You just wonder whether that's going to be the case elsewhere.
Yes. Well, it may be too late in this case, but it's not too late in many instances all across the country. And what I saw during research for my book is very innovative things happening right across the country on many different levels to protect at-risk species. For example, ranchers in southern Saskatchewan are now grazing their cattle on wild prairie later in the season to help at-risk songbirds. Their initiatives going down all over the country. But overall, again, we need to start making these decisions at an earlier time, not when we've lost 90% of a species habitat and when there's so little of it left.
Sarah, thank you very much for this.
My pleasure.
Sarah Cox is a journalist at the Narwhal. Her recent book, Signs of Life, Field Notes from the Front Lines of Extinction, follows conservation battles across Canada. She was in our Victoria studio.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.